Well, good morning. Good morning, and thank you again to the elders for this opportunity to open up God's Word. Before I start this morning, in honor of school starting in just a few days, can you believe school starts in just a few days? I said it, summer is almost over. I want to open up with some praise and prayer for all those going back to school in a few days, and I just want to thank all the teachers and all the retired teachers and staff and school administrators. We have a lot of you here in our chapel family. Praise God. Praise God for everything that you do. Praise God for your testimony for Christ. Praise God for the kingdom impact that you have every day. Thank you. Thank you. And this morning, I want to pray specifically for those going to college this fall. I have three nephews going to college this fall. How did I get old enough for three nephews to be going to college this fall? They were watching Barney and Blue's Clues just a couple days ago. I remember this. Praise God for the parents and grandparents of our college students, all the love poured out and the prayers prayed over the years. I know Carol has been a prayer warrior for my nephew Chris. Praise the Lord. God's given you some strong prayer knees. Mom, thank you. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace, knowing that we are but sinners saved by grace. This morning, we just want to lift up all of our teachers and retired teachers and staff and administrators. You have put many in our chapel in these positions of great impact for the kingdom, and we praise you for their gifts. And this morning, we want to pray specifically for those going to college this fall. We know that college can be a difficult place to be a believer, so we pray that all might receive your teaching, that all might know that we have one Lord, one faith, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one hope, all in the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We'll turn, if you would, to one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. One of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a very familiar passage, a very familiar chapter to many of you. Did anyone else read this chapter at your wedding? Anyone else? I'm not seeing it. Aha, I see some hands, all right. That's good. I remember Heather's late Aunt Ginger, bless her heart, read it at our wedding 15 years ago. Do you remember that, Heather? Actually, I don't remember it. I do know it happened, but the only thing I remember from our wedding ceremony is staring at my beautiful bride, just waiting for the kiss part of the ceremony. I remember the kiss part. Am I talking to any men now? We got Doug smiling back there. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to skip down, actually, past some of the good stuff, and start at verse 9. Starting at verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. Abide faith, hope, and love. Well, this morning, I want to start on a short three-part series on faith, hope, in love with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, as our anchor text. Now, I don't speak too often, so this might take a while to complete all three parts here, but I am speaking this morning, as you see, and I am speaking tonight, and Lord willing, so that's two out of three, and Lord willing, sometime in the next year or so, I'll be up again to finish the third. Well, faith comes first in our passage this morning. Love, Paul tells us, is the greatest of this, the greatest of the three. But this morning, I want to talk about hope. I want to talk about hope. 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 What are you hoping for this morning? What are you hoping for this morning? Hope. Is there anyone here this morning that needs hope in your life more than anything else right now? Does someone need a reason to hope this morning? Well, there's an expression that we use in my family that I believe is only known to a handful of us, even in my family, just a few of us. So let me pass along a family secret this morning to my chapel family, and maybe you'll start using the expression too. The expression is a clearing off shower, a clearing off shower, a clearing off shower. Heather knows this as the 4 o'clock shower. It's morphed a little bit in my immediate family, hasn't it? A little bit. Well, some of you know I used to work on my family's orchard every summer growing up in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Southwest Virginia, and often, almost every day, often at around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, particularly in the dog days of heat and haze of July and August, the sky would all of a sudden turn this charcoal black. I mean, charcoal black. Thunder would roll right down off of the mountain, and lightning would make the entire cove feel like a live wire. And wherever you were, I'm telling you, wherever you were in the orchard, you made a mad dash to the shed. You made a mad dash to that shed, and then the sky would just open up. The sky would open up, rain, hail, blowing in sideways underneath the shed. Cats and dogs, it sounded like machine gun fire on that tin roof above your head in that shed. Well, after about 10 or 15 minutes, after about 10 or 15 minutes of waiting under that shed, our beloved foreman, Garnet Dawson, he would step out and see this teeny tiny sliver of blue sky up above the West Ridge, and he'd come back into the shed. He'd come back into the shed, he'd look at us with a smile and say, "All right, men, looks like a clearing off shower. Looks like a clearing off shower, clearing off shower." And sure enough, after a little while, the rain would stop, the sun would come out, the orchard, the entire cove would sparkle, like God had wiped off all the haze from the sky. And the dust settled, the orchard would just shimmer with this indescribable splendor and radiance like you've never seen before. The sunlight reflecting off of every bead of water in the trees. I can't begin to describe the beauty. And back to work we'd go. Back to work we'd go. The clearing off shower. The clearing off shower in the darkest of storms. In the darkest of storms. Anyone in a storm like that this morning? Anyone in a storm like that this morning? Rain, hail, blowing in sideways, you know what I mean? Cats and dogs. Anyone else under some shed trying to wait it out? Anyone else taking cover for a season, have you seen this morning even just a sliver of blue sky up ahead on the horizon? Have you seen just a sliver of clear sky over the West Ridge? Hope. Hope in the midst of our darkest storms. We have hope, Christian, hope. Hope that we have a Savior. That we have a Savior who has overcome the darkness, who has defeated every enemy, even death itself, who is right now, as we speak, wiping clean that dust and haze in our lives, who is peeling back layer after layer after layer, peeling back layer after layer after layer, everything, brothers and sisters, that distracts and distorts our vision of Him. Until one day, we shall know Him as we are known, and we shall see Him no longer through that glass darkly, but we shall see Him face to face one day, and the whole world will shimmer with His glory. That which is perfect has come, and we shall see Him in all His glory, and we will be like Him, and we will look back on these lives that we're living today. We will look back on these lives that we're living today, and the heartache, and the sorrows, and the strivings, and the longings, and we'll say with a smile, "All right, brothers and sisters, looks like a clearing off shower. It looks like a clearing off shower. Hope. Hope. What are you hoping for this morning? Have you placed your hope in Christ and Christ alone? Hope. 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 Well, this morning I'm filled with such hope, and I want to share with you the reason for the hope that is in me. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Always be ready to give a defense for the reason. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Why do you hope? Why is it that you have hope? You need to stand ready. You need to stand ready. You need to be ready. Are you ready? Well, this morning I want to give a defense for the reason for the hope that is in me with meekness and fear. Four reasons for hope. Listen carefully. Four reasons for my hope this morning. Listen carefully. Reason number one is inclusiveness. Reason number two is experience. Reason number three is invisibility. Reason number four, eternity. Inclusiveness, experience, invisibility, eternity. Let's start with reason number one, inclusiveness. I believe as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that hope is inclusive. That hope is inclusive. That hope is open to all. Hope is universally available. I believe that God offers hope to all people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember Jesus' battle cry at the beginning of Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Hope for the poor, hope for the brokenhearted, hope for the captive, hope for the blind, hope for the oppressed, hope for the sinner, hope for you, hope for me. I believe. I believe that hope does not depend on your zip code, your last name, your bank account, how tall, dark, and handsome. We've got some tall, dark, and handsome people in this room. Who you are, who you know, what you know, whether you're in the pew every time the church door is open, whether you've memorized all 66 books of the Bible. I did that at camp last week. Just joking. Not that these are bad things. Not that these are bad things. They're good things. They're good things. But our hope does not depend on that. Our hope does not depend on that. Hope is available to all. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's what God thinks of us. That's what God thinks of us, all of us. All of it, all of us. Inclusiveness. That's reason number one for the hope that's in me this morning. By contrast, in the world's view, from a worldly perspective, hope is exclusive. Hope is exclusive. Hope is reserved for the privileged few. And it really doesn't matter what worldly thing you've placed your hope in. A new treatment, a new job, a new home, the next doctor, the next paycheck, next week, next month, next year. Not that these are bad things. They're not bad things. They're good things. But as my grandma used to say, some do, but we all can't. Some do, but we all can't. If we're placing our hope in any of these things, we're leaving someone out. Some will be cured. Some will be hired. Some will get rich. Some will walk away with the $758.7 million Powerball jackpot. Did you see that the other day? Some do, but we all can't. From the world's perspective, hear this, hope is the exception. Hope is the special case, because in the world's way of thinking, hopelessness is the norm. Hopelessness is the benchmark, the expected state of human existence, so deal with it. It's hope that needs further explanation. Listen to this story. Maybe some of you heard this story earlier this year. I think it succinctly sums up the situation in the world. Earlier this year, you may have heard this story. The preeminent cosmologist, not you, Jimmy, the preeminent cosmologist, Stephen Hawking, told a BBC audience that humankind, get this, had 100 years before we're wiped off the face of the earth by global warming, overdue asteroid strikes. They're overdue, folks. The asteroid strikes are overdue. Artificial intelligence and epidemics. Now the world hangs on every word that Stephen Hawking says. And you can just see the audience nodding, taking copious notes. 100 years, we got it. 100 years before mass extinction, got it. Hopelessness, got it. But wait, Stephen Hawking says, there's hope. We just need a plan B, a planet B. Did you see this? A planet B. Earth is planet A. We need a plan B. We just need to find another hospitable planet for humankind over the next 100 years. Hope, folks, it's planet B. Now, which ones of you should we take to planet B? Who here is getting a seat on the spaceship bound for Planet B? I confirmed Planet B does not stand for Brooks, first name. I'm still checking on Mrs. Brooks, though. It may stand for Mrs. Brooks. Bartlett, Brown, I don't think you're out. Yeah, you're out, Dad. Bartlett and Brown, we're still checking on. Hope in the world's view is exclusive. Reason number one for my hope is inclusiveness. As a Christian, I believe that hope is available to all of us. Reason number one, inclusiveness. Reason number two, experience. I believe as a follower of Jesus Christ that hope grows over time. Hope grows with experience. Hope is reinforced experientially in our walk, an effect of living for Him. I believe the light of hope burns brighter and brighter over time. As we grow and mature in His likeness, hope is the result of experience. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Turn back there, Romans chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 1. Listen to what Paul says. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, listen to this, and character, hope. And character, hope. Character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. I'll talk about disappointment later. We'll get to disappointment. But do you see how hope for the Christian grows? Hope sprouts from tribulation. Hope springs forth from trials. Hope is spawned from grief. Hope shoots forth from experience. Experience. That's reason number two for my hope this morning. By contrast, in the world's view, from a worldly perspective, experience trumps hope. Experience trumps hope from a worldly perspective. Hope, from the world's view, is wishful thinking, unfounded optimism. Hope is dashed, diminished, dimmed with time and experience in the world's view. My grandma used to warn us grandkids about the triumph of hope over experience. Is that another secret family phrase? The triumph of hope over experience. She'd warn us of the triumph of hope over experience. Like the time when I was 14 and mom and dad wouldn't let me drive the tractor in the orchard. Okay, that sounds good. But they would let me, for some mysterious parent logic that I probably will never know, drive the 1968 Dodge Dart with three on the tree. Does anybody remember the three on the tree, four on the floor? Okay, we got some people that remember that. Slant six. Okay, all right. Well, you're at another level altogether. The 1968 Dodge Dart had three on the tree. Don't correct me, Dad. Anyway, one day we run out of peaches to sell at the pack house, and my uncle is away, so I formulate this bright idea that I take the Dodge Dart into the orchard to pick up a few bushels of peaches. Well, to make a long story short, of course the Dodge Dart gets stuck where the tractor belongs. And as I'm telling Grandma about the whole thing later on that day, she goes, As I'm telling Grandma, now Brooksy Wooks, no one else is allowed to call me Brooksy Wooks. Brooksy Wooks, that sounds like the triumph of hope over experience. You hope the Dodge Dart was going to make it. You hope that Dodge Dart would make it. But experience would have shown you otherwise. Now think about it. Think about it, folks. In the world's economy, hope starts out big and bold. Big and bold, doesn't it? On fire, full steam, full sail, flat out, all out. But it's cooled off, worn down, chipped down away with the passage of time. Hope passes into tempered expectations. realistic objectives. Hope in the world's economy is a badge of youth. Hope in the world's economy is a badge of youth reserved for the innocent, the naive, the uninitiated. But for the Christian, hope, as we walk with our Savior, is lifted up, reinforced, it's multiplied. This is so important because even in the most hopeless of worldly situation, God draws near, doesn't he? God draws near to us, even in the most hopeless of worldly situations. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. I hear such wonderful testimonies from so many of you here just in this chapel, just as Jimmy and Lisa Kagg. How in the middle of some very dark days earlier this year with his health, the Lord sustained them. The Lord sustained their family and gave them confident assurance that the Lord would fulfill his every promise in their lives. So many testimonies of hope. So many testimonies of hope just in this chapel family. Just ask Don and Amy how they've persevered. Just ask Ken and Elaine. Just ask Florence. Just ask Annette. Just ask Peter and Judy. Just ask Julie. Just ask Joe. That covers a lot of you, Joe. Ask Joe how he's persevered, how he's maintained hope. Amazing grace. Amazing grace, even in our darkest moments, especially in our darkest moments, we are filled with an abiding sense of God's presence, God's love. Do you sense it this morning? Do you sense God's presence this morning? The light of the gospel shines brightest in the darkness. Hope in the world's view. Hope in the world's view is at odds with the real world. Reason number two for my hope is real world experience. I believe hope flourishes as I walk with our Savior because I've experienced hope. I've experienced hope flourishing in my life as the Lord has drawn near. Reason number one, inclusiveness. Reason number two, experience. Reason number three, invisibility. Listen to this one, invisibility. I believe, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that hope in this life is invisible, that hope in this life is unseen. Hope cannot be seen. Hope is immaterial. It's not material. If we can see it, it's not hope. Think about Romans 8. Romans 8, starting at verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Our hope is so much grander, so much greater. Our hope is so much deeper than anything that we see in this broken world, anything that we see with our eyes in this fallen world. Think about 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I believe hope is revealed to us through the Spirit in this life. Not through our eyes, not through our ears. Hope is a deep thing of God, an unseen thing Invisibility. That's reason number three for the hope in me this morning. By contrast, in the world's view, from a worldly perspective, what you see is all that exists. Folks, it's WYSIWYG. Does anybody remember that acronym buzzword, WYSIWYG? What you see is what you get. Hope for the world doesn't exist if you can see it, so the world says. Hope exists only if you can see it. If you can see it, if you can hear it, if you can like it, if you can do it, or if you can buy it, or if you can caress the leather. Did I get your attention now? Caress the leather steering wheel of a twin turbocharged. Joe is writing this down now. A twin turbocharged 8-cylinder, 660 horsepower Ferrari 488 GTB. You can see that all right. You can see that all right. My friend has two of them in his six-car garage. Don't ask me what the other four cars are. You can see that all right. I don't know whether it's sin or just scintillating marketing, but the world's hope is so tempting. It's so persuasive. It's so alluring. It's so appealing. And it's all right there in front of your eyes. I don't know whether it's sin or just scintillating marketing. It's sin. But the world's hope, whatever it is, the world's hope just leaves you wanting more. The world's hope just leaves you wanting more. Paul said this in Romans chapter 5. Remember, the world's hope disappoints. You know exactly what I mean about that. The world's hope disappoints. Anyone ever experienced disappointment with the world's things? Well, I remember as a kid going to the store with mom to buy soccer cleats. This was a big event, getting new soccer cleats as a kid. Come on, I mean, this is not a big event anymore, but it was back in the early 80s. Now, soccer cleats in the early 80s, a little history lesson if you're interested. You had Nike with the upward swoosh. You had Puma with the downward swoosh. You had Diadora with the upward swoosh. And the downward swoosh kind of mooshed together. Then you had Adidas with three stripes. Then you had Patrick's. Does anybody remember Patrick's with two stripes? Impressive memory if you remember Patrick's. Look it up. You can Google that one. And then at Montgomery Ward's, you had a brand of soccer cleats with only one stripe. Just one stripe. One stripe soccer cleat. I think they had them at Bamberger's too, Mom. I believe they were at Bamberger's. You can double check. Well, as soon as I saw those one stripe soccer cleats, I had to have them. I had to have them, brothers and sisters. I can't remember the brand name, but I had to have those one stripe soccer cleats. Do you know the rest of the story? Oh, the other kids just ribbed me. Oh, just ribbed me without end. I probably was the reason that those one stripe soccer cleats didn't make it big. Disappointment. Disappointment. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Disappointment. Anyone ever place your hope in the one-stripe version of the real thing? The real thing? The deep thing of God? The unseen thing? Reason number three for my hope is what we do not see, what we have received through the Spirit. As a Christian, I believe hope is far richer and grander than anything this present world can offer. Reason one, number one, inclusiveness. Reason number two, experience. Reason number three, invisibility. Reason number four, finally, eternity. Eternity. I believe as a follower of Jesus Christ that hope is eternal. Our hope is everlasting. Proverbs 23:18 in the NIV says, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Our hope is living. Our hope is living, Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I believe in a living hope. I believe in a living hope. Listen carefully. I believe our hope is living. First, as in to live. Our hope is to live eternally. And our hope is living. Second, as in alive. Alive. Our hope is alive forever. Christ rose from the dead. Christ is alive today. Christ came to give us life everlasting. Our hope is imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. God has placed eternity in our hearts, it says in Ecclesiastes. Eternity. That's reason number four for my hope this morning. By contrast, in the world's view, from a worldly perspective, hope is fleeting, short-lived, ephemeral. Hope ends with death. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. If you listen to the world, men, our hope runs out in 76.3 years. Women, you've got 81.2 years to drink it all in. Ladies, better enjoy this 4.9 years without us. Get what you can get while you can still get it till hope clocks out for the last time. That's what the world says. That's what the world says. Well, I was practicing some evangelistic outreach a while ago. Believe me, this was very feeble. I needed, Jimmy, I needed your help here for sure. I was practicing some evangelistic outreach on a very smart, but non-believing friend. One of the smartest people I know, but not a believer. You know what he said? You know what? He said, I've got bigger things to worry about than what happened to Jesus after he died. I've got bigger things to worry about than what happened to Jesus after he died. Your eternal hope sounds like this. Today, you work and pray, and you live on hay. Then, by and by, you hope for pie in the sky, eat hay today, pie by and by in the sky, or something like that. Well, he said, I care most about how people live, he said. I care most about how people live. Well, I said, I agree with that. I care most about how people live. I just happen to have a different view of how long we live. I have a different view of how long we live because Christ arose. Because Christ arose. We don't have to live for the here and now. We can live for eternity now because he arose. Church, Christ arose. You got to be a lot louder than that. Christ arose. Because Christ arose, we don't have to live for ourselves anymore. We can live for him now. Because he arose, Christ arose. Still quiet. Because Christ arose, we don't have to live with remorse and regret for all the things we did or didn't do. We can live forgiven now. Because he arose, Christ arose. Because Christ arose, we don't have to live in resentment and bitterness for all the world's tribulations. When they come our way, they will come your way. We can live with joy now. Because he arose, Christ arose. Because Christ arose. We don't have to live for retribution from everyone who has wronged us. We can live with mercy now. Because he arose, Christ
arose. Because Christ arose, we don't have to live in fear of death anymore. We can live in victory now. Because he arose, Christ arose. And because Christ arose, we don't have to live with the world's hopelessness. We can live in hope now. Hope for all. Hope that flourishes. Hope that comes through the Spirit. Hope that is eternal. Eternal. Because he arose. Christ arose. And that's the reason. That's the reason. That's the reason, brothers and sisters, for the hope that's within me this morning. Can you see that blue sky on the horizon? Hope. There's one Lord, one faith, one hope, all in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you said, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope." This morning, Heavenly Father, we put our hope in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.